baseball's most baffling MVP ballots. And it's a very good subject. Jeremy Lehrman is the founding editor of PlateCoverage.com, a baseball-focused website blending topical analysis and historical narrative to provide a unique perspective on the game and its times. Jeremy is the author of Baseball's Most Baffling MVP Ballots, the book we're talking about, put out by McFarland Publishing. It looks at the past, present, and future of the Most Valuable Player Award through the most controversial ballots of all time. Jeremy's been a professional speechwriter, copywriter, and ghostwriter for 20 years. No talk show host, Jeremy?
I am not a talk show host, and which will be painfully obvious probably, Marty, in the next few minutes.
The subject matter is one, boy, that we argue about and talk about every October. Is this a subject matter that anybody can ever define? Who is an MVP, and how do you judge it?
You know, I think the Baseball Writers Association of America knew what they were doing when they kind of failed to define what most valuable really means. In fact, the very first line, Marty, in the instructions that are given to the voters every year, here's what it says. It says there is no clear-cut definition of most valuable. It is up to the voter to define what most valuable is. And I think this was intentional because what fun would it be if the annual MVP award was like a batting race where the guy who had the highest batting average won the award? Well, in many cases, the suspense would be eliminated long before the award was actually handed out. And I think the writers knew what they were doing. They knew that it was going to generate tons of controversy and tons of discussion. And it's a discussion and a debate that I think fans love to have every single year. I know I do.
Well, is it the best player, like a Mike Trout, who's gotten it here? Or is it the most valuable player, you know, the Dick Groat of 1960 or something like that? How do you define it?
You know, if there was a magic formula, I have yet to decipher it, even with all the research. You bring up two great examples. I think, well, let's take Dick Groat first, 1960. And the Dick Groat MVP of 1960, I think, has special significance, particularly for Bay Area sports fans, because Dick Groat, who won a batting title, he had 325 that year, was named MVP over really what many would consider the much more qualified Willie Mays. And this was one of many years that Willie Mays was the best player in the league, but failed to claim an MVP. He did capture two awards. So Willie, it's not like Willie lacked for recognition. But the voters in 1960 decided very clearly that they weren't going to give it to the best player in baseball. In fact, if they were going to give it to the best player in baseball, Willie would have won probably 10 times. But they gave it to a player, and Dick Groat, who was the acknowledged on-field leader of a surprise team. The Pirates captured their first pennant in 35 years. They were expected to go nowhere. And here's Dick Groat, who played a fine shortstop. He hit well enough. And he was seen as the catalyst for the surprise success of this team. Now, you mentioned Mike Trout. On the other end of the equation is Mike Trout. We talk about most valuable, where Dick Groat may very well have been the most valuable player to the best team that year in the National League. Mike Trout last year, and this came as quite a surprise to me, was named MVP despite playing for a team that went 74-88. The Angels went nowhere last year. And it raises the question, well, how much value can Mike Trout, who is the consensus best player in baseball today, how much value does he really bring to his team? Well, I argue that the best player, by definition, is probably the most valuable player in the league at any given time. Mike Trout, even though the Angels didn't go very far last year, and it's likely they're probably not going to go very far this year, if you can name me another player that means more to an organization than Mike Trout means to the Angels, I'd be happy to listen. But I don't think it's going to be a very easy case for you to make. Go ahead, Mark.
No, I was going to say, if you ask me a question, Mookie Betts, last year, with Boston, and the old story that Branch Rickey used to say to the player, we came in last, we can come in last with you or without you,
Yeah, that's very true. You know, I think you're referring to the famous Ralph Kiner quote.
Right, where,
Right. Ralph had led the league in home runs yet again, and he went in for a raise, and Mr. Rickey said, yeah, we could finish with last without you. And to that I say this. Is it fair, and I'm just asking the question, is it fair to penalize a great player like Mike Trout for the failures of his teammates? Is it Mike Trout's fault that the other 23, 24 guys on his roster were just not as good at baseball as the guys who were surrounding Mookie Betts? And I will say this. Mookie Betts would have been a wonderful choice for most valuable player last year in the American League. He was my pick. If I had a vote, it would have been Mookie Betts. It came as quite a surprise when Trout took the award. But I don't think it's fair to penalize a player because his teammates couldn't quite get the job done. Mike Trout had Albert Pujols hitting behind him. Mookie Betts had a kind of a murderer's row of sorts. You know, the Boston lineup was just spectacular last year. He was on a better team, and I'm not sure it's right to reward a player just because he's on a better team.
All right, the book is Baseball's Most Baffling MVP Ballots. You can see how Jeremy put this together, why it's a great subject matter, and it's filled with a lot of good examples, just like we're talking about. You know, you look at MVPs and the way things were put together. The Sporting News used to come out with the Player of the Year, and the Baseball Writers of America would come out with their MVP vote. Well, the Sporting News would generally give it to Stan Musial because they were in St. Louis, and they love Stan Musial, and they love Ted Williams. But they said unequivocally, we're going to give it to the Player of the Year. And the writers, of course, go with the most valuable player. So I think you'll always have this controversy until you decide, as you said, what really the definition is, because you can argue it both ways. Look at Barry Bonds. I mean, he won a ton of MVPs. He could have won more, like Mays.
Absolutely. You know, I think you raise a great example with the Sporting News Player of the Year. Because I think baseball, Major League Baseball, tried to address this in a sense when they introduced the Hank Aaron Award. And the Hank Aaron Award ostensibly was given to the best hitter of the year, the best offensive player of the year. And it never really caught on. And so I would guess that maybe some of your listeners aren't even aware that there's such a thing as the Hank Aaron Award, which, again, is kind of an ersatz Player of the Year Award. The MVP has captured the imagination of the fans, of the media, of course, and the players. You know, it's the most prestigious award, single-season award anyway, you know, in all of sport. And I think... You know, you mentioned Barry Bonds. Again, if the award, and he won seven, which is more than twice as many as any other player who ever lived, he probably could have won eight or nine pretty easily. And if the award was given, again, just to the best player, Barry Bonds probably could have won 12 or 13 awards over the course of his career. There was nobody, you know, any better.
Boy, like Williams, Mantle, Mays, probably, you know, they could have been MVPs every year. Hey, the book is... Baseball's Most Baffling MVP Ballots. I'm going to ask you just to think for a second. Maybe the worst MVP vote ever, or maybe one that stands out to you that you kind of like covering. But you can get the book through McFarland Publishing. You can order online at 800-253-2187. Or you can check out the website, McFarlandPUB.com. We've had many McFarland people on last year, so same website, McFarlandPUB.com. Jeremy, I'll ask you that. Maybe the worst vote of all time, and one that sort of you captured your fancy when you put the book together.
You know, and I'm going to get a little political just for a second, because it really depends on how you define worst. Here's what I mean. So, let's say your definition of worst is it's the inexplicable selection of an unqualified player over, you know, a slew of seemingly superior candidates. So then I think in this regard of Juan Gonzalez in 1996. You know, Juan Gonzalez in 1996, he was a fine hitter, but he probably wasn't one of the 10 or 15 best players in the league. But he won the award over vastly superior candidates like Alex Rodriguez and Ken Griffey Jr. So if that's your definition of worst, then maybe Juan Gonzalez in 1996. If your definition of worst is, let's say, The difference in ability and production between the league's best player and the player who actually won the MVP, well, we can return to Willie Mays, perhaps, this time 1962. You know, 1962, as you'll remember, Maury Wills was named National League MVP because he stole 104 bases. Well, the truth was Willie Mays was twice the player that Maury Wills was, and Maury Wills could have stolen 200 bases, and he wouldn't have been as valuable as Willie Mays. But Maury Wills, he established a record, and he was named MVP. Those are two of the worst, but they're not the very worst. And for me, the worst MVP selection of all time has to do more with voter spite and hypocrisy. And Marty, what I mean by this is the 1999 AL MVP vote, this is the year that Pudge Rodriguez, the recent Hall of Fame catcher, was awarded the AL MVP in a very close vote over Pedro Martinez. And this vote, for me at least, kind of sticks in my craw more than a lot of others, maybe more than any other. And it's because two voters that year, two writers, left Pedro Martinez off the ballot. Now, Pedro that year, you might remember, had one of the great pitching seasons of the 20th century, maybe one of the five or 10 best pitching seasons in the history of the game. He was left off two ballots. And you say, well, okay, that's happened before. Ted Williams was famously left off the ballot a couple of times over his career. Well, here's what made the 1999 vote so galling. George King, who covered the Yankees, and that's important to remember, covered the Yankees for the New York Post, left Pedro off his 1999 ballot. And when he was asked, why did you leave Pedro off your ballot? He said, well, you know, MVP is for everyday players. Well, the year prior, in 1998, George King listed two pitchers on his 1998 AL MVP ballot, David Weld and Rick Helling, neither of which pitched one of the 100 greatest seasons or 200 greatest seasons of all time, let alone one of the 5 or 10 best seasons of all time. So that kind of didn't sit well with me. The other writer, this guy named Lavelle Neal, and he was a little bit more consistent in that he had been on record saying he would never vote for a pitcher for MVP, and when the time came for his vote, he said, why would I vote for Pedro Martinez, as great as he was? I told you, I don't think pitchers should be named MVP. Well, what's kind of really wrong with that, Marty, is that the Baseball Writers Association of America makes it very clear. All players, all positions, including pitcher and designated hitter, are eligible for the award. And they had been on record for years and years saying, if a voter tells us that they refuse to vote for a pitcher, we will give the ballot to somebody else. In other words, we'll let somebody else who can follow kind of the rule and the spirit of the award, we'll let them vote on it.
Well, that so didn't happen. So much stuff is unspoken on these awards, and it led to the Cy Young Award in 1956 because of things that you just talked about. Don Newcomb getting it, I think, the first Cy Young Award. So it's a lot of unspoken stuff, and it's amazing how it's all in the book, and it's something that we talk about, God, just about every year. But I remember George King and Lavelle Neal and not putting the pitcher on there, and the express direction is you can vote for a pitcher, but it's a lot of unspoken stuff that goes on with the writers. So I think the book's terrific. It just creates a lot of discussions about what it is. So I think you did very well with it. Is it doing well?
You know, it seems to be getting out there, and people seem to like it. So I thank you so much for letting me get the word out a little bit on your show. You know, you are a Bay Area legend, so this is a real thrill and treat for me.
All right. I appreciate having you on. Good luck, Jeremy. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Baseball's most baffling MVP ballots. Boy, you can go on. We could do the whole show about this. But, yeah, a lot of unspoken stuff. That's the whole deal with this.
Good. Really interesting stuff there, Marty.
Yeah, yeah.
I really enjoyed that interview.
Yeah, thanks, Fish. And it'll be on our page at KMBR.com or loveofthegameproductions.com. So I enjoy having the writers on because these are books that are out there, and it's what baseball's all about, arguing.